Hey guys, welcome back to Newbery Film Reviews. We are on a special, crazy episode right now. This is the 100th episode.
It's a
milestone.
Yeah, let's clap it up.
I told Dave I wanted a kazoo, but he didn't know what a kazoo was, so we can't have a kazoo show. Yeah, there you go.
This is not a Sesame Street, guys. it's definitely a milestone for the podcast. We have a total of 6 reviewers on. We wanted to do something special. And, we didn't even know we were going to get this far. And I'm not even going to go on a long rant, but we started the podcast. Said, you know, we're all film fanatics. And, we started a podcast to get our opinions out there. And here we are in the 100th episode, and it's freaking awesome. And, it's amazing how back in the day, you know, to do what we do now, you have to have like a radio station and a whole crew and expensive equipment. But now your average Joe can just have a mic, record, and reach the masses through the internet, which is absolutely amazing. So I'm going to shut up. And, on this episode, we are each going to drop our one pick for a movie we want made, whether it's a prequel, sequel, original, whatever it is. And, who wants to go first?
How about
let's just do introductions?
Yeah, let's just say for a second, like, who was on the podcast. And then, you know what I think is kind of cool?
Who are you, buddy?
Right.
Identify yourself.
Yes. But I think it'd be kind of cool, too, to say, like, we're kind of diverse on where we actually are, like, geographically. So it'd be kind of, you don't have to, like, say, like, your address on here so you get crazy stalkers. But it'd be cool to, like, say where you are.
What about the mystique that we actually have a studio and we have money?
Oh yeah,
we're killing that, buddy.
That's
we're professional podcast.
It's out the window right now, man. We
I'm
will
in a penthouse in New York City.
Yeah, one day.
Yeah,
one
we're doing this with Google Hangouts.
All right, so obviously you're Dave, you know, and you opened the episode, and Dave is from Florida at the moment, usually from Connecticut, and I'm Brian, and I'm in Connecticut as well.
We have Paul from Connecticut.
I'm Paul. I'm also in Connecticut and being distracted by Twitter.
We have Gil.
I'm from Jersey. Gil from Jersey.
Where they pump your gas.
And Don from Florida.
And I am John, although Dave will call me Gian, and I'm also from Connecticut.
John, is that okay? I'm just so used to calling Gian, dude. It's like a nickname.
I call him Paul. I call him both.
He hates Gian. He's always hated Gian.
It's not, it's not hate. It's not hate. Just different cultures. That's all. If you can't respect me.
For the audience, just he spells his name Gian. So you just try to rationalize how it sounds.
It's called Get Some Culture, America. Whatever. We won't get into it.
John, in the picture I just took, you look like you're possessed by the devil. And if you check your Twitter feed, oh shit, I just added, nope, never mind. I, gotta delete that because I totally just tweeted someone who's not in our group. That picture.
All right, like, what's going on?
All right, we're getting a little distracted here. Who wants to go
first?
Sorry,
that's my fault. I haven't been on in so long.
I'm sorry.
All right,
did you say, Dave, what the episode is? Like, did you say?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Where have you been? Right.
I'm falling off the rails here.
You're okay, but professionalism. Professionalism. Let's all right.
I don't think there's rails.
Shoot.
All right. I'm gonna start off with a prequel to Drive. I would like to see that.
Okay, why?
This was
like
my favorite movie.
A more awkwarder version of Drive.
Yeah. What are you talking about, awkward? That movie was sick, man. It was classic.
So right, what do you want to see in it, Gil?
Just how he became, you know, himself and, like, you know, just storylines, you know, like him getting into more fighting scenes and, you know, like Brian said, less awkward, but yeah.
So how he became a scorpion jacket wearing sociopath?
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
Okay.
Touché.
I'm with it. Drive is like one of my top 10 movies. Brian hates it, I think.
I don't hate it. I like the film. It's just really, really awkward moments. You know, like social awkward moments? You have to actually have social awkward moments in the movie.
I got to rebuttal when you're done. But
I already know. You've already talked about this on the episode. There's meaning. There's reason behind it. It's still awkward.
I was just going to – it's trying to be something awesome, and they were a little bit off. And I wouldn't mark it as top 10. And I'm not even counting Star Wars in top 10. I'm just saying. I don't know.
I've never seen the movie.
Don hasn't seen either. Big shocker to loan it to Don.
I see a movie that you guys discuss.
Who invited this guy?
Hey, Gil, hey Don.
Gil, this is like Gil's number one movie, right? It's like, I mean, this
it's kind of like number two.
You got Drive underwear. Stop.
You do. You got Drive like everything.
I got that Drive wear.
You got to get the jacket, man. You got the jacket?
Lunchbox.
Nah. Yep.
Don, he really does have a Drive lunchbox, like, and soap and mouthwash. And
like decorative soap or fake soap?
Soap on a rope.
So it doesn't drop it. Do you have an opinion, Don, on our Drive? Because you wanted to see it.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling's cute. I don't.
Okay, honestly. Don's going to be leaving the podcast. Say bye.
The only thing we've talked about this, the only thing I'm aware of Drive, and unfortunately I haven't seen it, is that it is a lot of, it's on a lot of the list for the film reviewers that I do follow, social media and all that jazz. They always talk about Drive. You know, they split the screen into quadrants, into quarters and halves, and talk about how each one tells its own story. So it does look very promising, but from that, that's about all I got from it. So, cause I haven't seen the whole movie yet, so I can't comment.
Doesn't Don like make us all really sound bad how like eloquently he puts like movie terms?
It's all Don, the beer.
Don's my new favorite guy after that.
When Don talks, I feel dumber than I usually do.
I'm with you.
I feel pretty dumb every day.
I'm like, you see that scene? That scene was fucking awesome, you know? And Don's like, yeah, that scene really spoke to me, you know? Like, actually has several layers within that scene.
Well, if you want, I can up the pretentious level by speaking in a British accent and really...
No. We're good, dude.
I say do it.
When I break down a film, like, I liked it because the guy's head got squished and there was blood.
Yeah, like, you like Pulp Fiction because the one dude just got capped in the back of a car real quick, you know, like, it was all, like, wasn't supposed to get capped, and that was your favorite part.
You can't deny it was entertaining, though.
Vincent Vega, just, whoops, it's Lamar's head.
Just a quick rebuttal to, like, what Brian said, and you know what I'm going to say, Brian. I think the movie perfectly captured the moments where, like, no words are needed. You know, like, when you like a chick and you're around their presence and you just look at each other and it's just kind of, like, energy. And you're giggling and you're like, not giggling, but it's like you have a smirk and you just, it's like this tension. I'm not going to say what kind of tension, but, I think the movie captured those perfect moments where like no words are needed. And it's really hard to do that on camera. That's the reason I love that movie so much. And it was just a great movie. That's like one of my legit top tens. Like if I was like, and Don and I talked about this earlier and it makes for a great episode. What movies you would bring with you into a nuclear bunker? Like an underground bunker for light, like you're down there forever. What would you bring? Like five movies.
That's good. That's a good episode.
That's
idea
a great
right
episode.
There.
Mm-hmm. There Drive would be like one of mine.
Somebody take notes. Somebody taking a note.
Get on.
We'll just listen to the episode again.
The secretary in our personal building that we own. Yeah. She's taking it down. We're good.
Yes. Yeah, in our studio.
Yeah.
So guys, studio. Anything
we
else?
We have two
on
of
Drive?
Them. No, I think Gil. You got a good point. I think there's a prequel. There's a story that can be told beforehand, how he got to where he was, how he kind of got to his position as being, you know, a hitman. I think there's stuff you can kind of iron out from there. Cause
you
it's know, just
is
like
something I should see.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is a good film. I don't deny that.
Now, just, Paul, I'm telling you this.
Being awkward, but.
Paul, you have anything negative to say, I'm going to have to hunt you down in Connecticut. that's
Paul,
my promise.
This is the thing with Paul. Like, Paul is harsh, man. If he don't like something, he's just going to be like, that shit
If I don't
sucks.
Like it, I fucking hate it.
Yeah.
Like, there's
he's
no,
black and white.
Yeah. Mostly he's, black. Obviously.
Oh, my God. You know there's a sequel, like a book, though, right?
Yeah.
In a book format.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I have it.
What is it?
We
got it on audiobook
it's called Drive 2.
It's called Driven.
Driven?
Oh, how clever.
Yeah. The following book after that is Driven's.
Yep.
And then Drivening.
Driving.
Driven.
Driver.
All ends up. The final film, Driving Miss Daisy. That's how it all ends. That's
oh my
it.
God.
It's a circle. It's a circle.
You heard the spoiler you know? Here.
Yep.
All right. Mine so, if we're done on Drive, Gion, shoot.
Aw. There's way too many options. So I'm just going to do the tried and true. That might not be a common thing. Although we'll go Star Wars. I'll throw that out there.
No,
there's obviously.
No, we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah. Well, Disney's got, you know, we'll see where we go with it. But other than the book Thrawn trilogy, like the Thrawn trilogies, which is set right after Jedi, like immediate after, mm-hmm. which they've kind of messed up with the newer stuff. That would be cool to see. I'm going to say. What I would like is almost like a prequel to the prequels, mostly like a standalone film with like Qui-Gon Jinn.
How he came up?
Yeah, like I think it would be a cool thing where he's like the premise could be, you know, he's a, you know, younger master, you know, younger Jedi Knight type of thing. And he's got a family because he's kind of been that great Jedi. He's kind of got, you know, unbeknownst to the council and then, you know, there's another Jedi or a kid that has force powers. He's like, no, you're too old to train. And then that kid, because he's not trained, you know, ends up killing his family and everything. And it's kind of changes Qui-Gon's view on, you know, life. And then that's why it leads up to the Anakin thing. And I think it'd be cool.
For the people, not to cut you off, John, but for the people listening, Qui-Gon was played by Liam Neeson. And he was in episode one, right?
Yeah. He dies in, well, spoiler alert. He dies in episode one by getting sliced in half by Darth Maul. Or stabbed. Like
if you haven't seen episode one, you probably don't even know we have a black president. Like,
yeah. We have like a 3-year limit. If it's within 3 years, then it's spoiler ready. Spoiler you know? Free, okay.
Yeah. So I think it would be because they don't really touch on him too much. He's kind of unlike the normal Jedi of the era. He's more of the gray type. Not necessarily dark, not necessarily light. He's, you know, he's more balanced. So I think it'd be a cool thing to delve a little bit more into that.
Dude, I wanted to see, like a spinoff movie with Darth Maul. Cause I've always loved Darth Maul and I was like bummed they killed him in the first freaking, you know.
Well, they brought him back in the cartoons, the Clone Wars. I don't know if you ever saw that. And he's got some mechanical legs and he survived with no bottom half because he's, so dark side and blah, blah, blah.
It was a little grandma's boy right now.
It was a little stretch of stuff, but there's a fan film that has Darth Maul, and if you haven't seen that, you're missing out because it was done really well.
Don, do you?
I can look it up.
Don, are you familiar with Star Wars at all, dude? Or
well, I am alive, so there's that.
True.
I'm familiar with the first three. I've never been a super. The very first three, chronologically speaking, that came out. So the very first three were being practical effects, Mark Hamill, and you know before all the CGI heavy other ones that came out, the prequels. So I was familiar with the first ones, which were great. They were good storylines. I was never frantically obsessed with them. You know, they were decent. The new one, I will say this. I just saw The Force Awakens. That's the new one, right?
Yes.
Just saw that one only a few weeks ago. And I'll tell you, from a non-Star Wars standpoint, that was a phenomenal film. I don't want to take this off the rails, but just from a J.J. Abrams doing a movie for somebody who's kind of, you know, knows some of it coming in, it was still really well done. It had that energy of the very first Star Wars that came out.
Yeah, it did.
It had a lot of almost scene for scene shots
because it was the same story.
It was almost
the same movie completely.
It was like an homage, if you will.
But it was phenomenal. I love it.
You know, I'll take that any day over freaking Jar Jar Binks, man.
Agreed. Hey, is Jar Jar is Snoke Jar Jar? Is any
if anything, anything? I think it's Darth Plagueis.
That's what I. That's think what too.
I've heard that.
Yeah,
but I don't know if they'll go that route. It's predictable, but I'm kind of okay with it being that predictable because I want to see some badassery from Plagueis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I liked, man, I was bummed when, spoiler, when Han Solo got taken out.
Right. It needed to be, we kind of discussed this before, but he needed, there needed to be something that would drive, just from a cinematic standpoint, something to drive the heroes to do it. And if Leia died, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. Chewie died, it'd be horrible for the fans, but the in movie stuff,
grand
it's not
scheme
a,
of things, it wouldn't be,
plus Harrison Ford
take his villain level up.
Yeah.
I was waiting for this. Here comes Don.
Yeah, can I just toss in on this, because I got a conversation with a few guys at work the other day, and they're like, oh, any movie where Han Solo dies, I'm out. And I said, you don't get it. From a non-standpoint, this guy, not you guys, you guys get it, I'm sure. But from a non-fanatic standpoint, you need to have death. You need to have something that counts, that gives the plot substance and character arc. And usually that's drama. And one of the easiest ways and one of the best ways to do it is to kill somebody off. And that drives the whole plot forward. And it really gives it gravitas. It's something that I actually have a nitpick with all these Marvel movies about, because they don't ever kill anybody off and stay permanent. You know, it's too serialized. They want it to come back, so.
Gravitas, Don. Gravitas. Yeah. I'm writing that down. I'm using that tomorrow.
Wow. So. That's what I've been saying. Yeah, anyone that complains, like, obviously.
I'm not joking on you, Don. You know that, right?
Like, I was confused by David's.
Oh no, I'm not punking you out or whatever. I'm laughing that you you just have a scale higher with the way.
Don,
that you talk.
Don, do me a favor, dude, because we talked about this on a previous episode. What's your background? How did you get into movies? Why do I call you the cable guy?
Well, I snuck into porno theaters when I was real young, and launched off that platform.
We don't have those here.
No, but it's truly amazing. Like, all jokes aside, like, I'm not like joking on you or anything, Don, but like, okay, Tiger Woods, he started golf when he was 4 years old, and he grew up to be an amazing golfer. Dude, so, you watched a shitload of movies.
Yeah, that's basically it. It's like the Tarantino class of filmmaking. I mean, really, not to say that I'm anywhere near his skill level or anything like that. It's just, you know, it's one of those things, not to go into detail, but when I was younger, I just had a lot of time to watch a lot of movies, and it was something I was very fascinated with and very obsessed with. And if you give it enough time and you invest in enough, then you eventually find out, you know, what the director means. You're not just watching a movie. Like, when I was younger, you watched The Phantom or something, you just, because it's cool action and stuff like that. And then you dig in a little deeper and you get to see what the director meant behind this character arc and this, that, and the other thing. So, nobody can read that, Dave. It's way too small.
Sorry.
Use the chat.
Didn't mean to throw
use
that up
chat.
There, but. Yeah, no, so anyhow, yeah, if you watch enough and you keep studying enough, eventually, you know, I mean, that just becomes your standard, I think. So I don't honestly think I'm anything special. I just
watch
a lot of
movies.
So I love
when we call you the cable guy, because you're the real-life cable guy. You were babysat by movies. Freddy Krueger was your babysitter.
Dude, sorry, no, not Freddy Krueger. I'll say the Predator was probably my babysitter.
I think we got a pretty good variety on here. I mean, like, Gil's got freaking 400 Blu-ray DVDs. He's got more than I can think of. And Paulie comes from the comic book kind of background. He likes to read the actual comic books and then go into the films along with the comic books.
I also have about 400 DVDs, bitch.
They ain't Blu-rays, though.
They ain't Blu-ray.
I can't afford that, man.
2016,
dog.
2016.
Shit just got real.
And John also has a really big collection as well, and he's a big-time Star Wars fan.
And I ate paint chips when I was a kid.
Yeah.
We know that.
I do have a lot of movies, too, though.
I don't know where we were. So I got a pretty decent collection, too.
Ryan's
I got a
the only
good
one that does not have a lot of movies.
No, I don't have a lot. I don't have them showcased. I have, like, at least, like, two something. But I don't have them showcased.
Okay, I'm proud of you for that. Not to call you I'm
I do.
On, because you told me what
I had to buy one of them.
You said, why would I buy a movie? Like, I've seen it once. I don't have to own it. That's what you told me.
I don't know. I did. But not on the movies I love. Not on the movies I love.
I have, like, over 900 Blu-rays.
Oh, wow.
What? Yeah, I legit have a wall. I had to go to Best Buy, and I'm like, what's the biggest stand? And that's still not enough. Like, I have them stacked awkwardly.
Gian is officially an Blu-ray owner.
Are they movies or TV series?
I would say 98% of them are movies.
Okay. All right.
No, yeah, it's
– I, I thought I was doing okay.
Gil, you got knocked out the box, son.
Yeah. Granted, I have, you know, probably like 18 different types of copies of Star Wars because they came out with how many different. So there's that.
He's counting. He's counting the Star Wars series. He gets like six with just one box.
No, I was going to say it's like 900.
He's like six. Yeah.
But like $8.99 is Star Wars.
Yeah.
I buy those out on principle. How dare they be that low?
You want to hear something staggering then? Guess how many movies I have. Really, just take a wild stab at it.
10.
All right.
Everyone in print.
No, I'm going to say probably closer to whoever guessed first, about 10 or 50. Maybe 10 or 20.
Oh,
I honestly don't own that many. I watch a lot. I used to go to the library a lot, and then I had Netflix back when they had the solid state media, you know, like DVDs. Yes. Yeah, but honestly, now I've narrowed my collection down. Everything Stanley Kubrick and everything Quentin Tarantino, and that's about what makes up my collection right now. And then Edgar Wright, sorry, and Ridley Scott.
Dude, you don't have to own movies. You got that cable guy computer brain. He's probably like playing in your head.
You know what? Out of those 900, I don't own one Quentin Tarantino movie.
Dude. No, he does, and he hasn't seen one.
I've seen like parts of. I just can't. I just don't like him. Yeah. I don't like him.
But you got to see a whole one first in order to even like to chime in, man.
What do you think, John? I tried to get him on either Pulp Fiction, Django, or I was going to go Reservoir Dogs, but Reservoir Dogs is kind of slow.
Pulp Fiction. Wait, John, you don't like Tarantino?
The reason why I don't like gore and blood for just to have it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just it's not my cup of tea.
How excited he is.
Anybody who's been listening to this podcast since the beginning knows I don't like Tarantino movies. I like Pulp Fiction, I do. But that's about it.
You guys are nuts.
Yeah. You're seriously psychotic.
Were you standing up awesome. Because you're happy that I was agreeing with you? Or you
yeah,
mad?
Yeah, finally someone.
Yeah, it's just
someone it, like, also feels the
it's
same,
the same
way.
Thing. See, I'm very conservative, I guess, if you like same thing with like swears, like it's just bad script writing. If you get shot in the leg, I don't think someone should be like, oh, poop. Oh, crap. I'm bleeding. Ouch. You know, like, yeah, there could be a swear there. But if someone's the script is every other word is fuck, it's like that's not even good script writing. That's just let's throw some swears in.
Part of it's entertainment.
The opening sequence to Inglourious Basterds, there's almost no cussing. That's one of the best scenes in movie cinema. When you have Dave, you probably got this. The one German dude who plays the Nazi and the Jewish family's under the floorboards.
Christoph Waltz.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. There's. I don't remember really hardly any cussing in that whole scene. And that was one of the best taught, well written scenes in movie history. Oh, I mean, that's so good.
You gotta check it out, Gian. Seriously, that was
Inglourious Basterds. It wouldn't be like his top three though.
My least favorite movie of all of his movies that I've seen.
It was all right. Gil, what's your favorite Tarantino film?
Dusk Till Dawn.
Oh, he took it way
that's
back.
Like a combo
that's like,
movie.
Yeah,
that's like him and Rodriguez.
Rodriguez.
I know why, because it's Salma Hayek.
Yeah, well, that's a good reason, though.
The Python.
Yep.
So whose pick was that? That was a Gian's, right, Saul?
Yeah, that all came from Star Wars. We ended on Quentin Tarantino and Salma Hayek. Let's see how that segued.
We are good at derailing this
podcast
show.
Magic, baby. Let it flow. We're going to go with Dawn.
Alrighty. Now I'm going to bring up something you guys probably aren't going to know. It's called Rendezvous with Rama. It's a book made by Arthur C. Clarke, the unmitigated genius. Arthur C. Clarke, the guy who invented satellite technology, basically. I won't get into all that. But it's a hardcore science fiction book. And it's about, in the future, 2130 or so. Earth has an array where they can watch what asteroids are coming in. They detect something near Jupiter. I'll try to make this as short as possible, but they send a crew out. They turn one of the satellites circling Mars or Jupiter to go take a look at it. Turns out it's this giant, like 40-mile-long cylinder floating through space. And, it's not on a trajectory to interfere with Earth or anything like that. So they send a crew up to check it out to find out its mysteries. And the whole story is their journey through that. It's one of those adventure sci-fi films, very akin to like more recently The Martian, you know, where it's kind of fun, it's fast paced, it's got things going on, there's drama, there's danger, but it's exciting. And the whole time, the notion of where the cylinder came from and who the people are who built it are always a mystery. And I won't necessarily ruin the ending for you, but I know a while ago, I think back in early 2000, Morgan Freeman bought the rights to make it a movie, and he's still trying to make it a movie, and I think it should be made into one.
What was the name of
it? I just got a question.
Rendezvous with Rama.
Is there an Aerosmith song in a nuclear bomb in Bruce Willis?
No, only if you're lucky. And Michael Bay directing.
Yes.
That was an awesome movie, though. I hate Michael Bay. Did he do Armageddon?
Yeah, he did. I loved that movie.
Have you seen any of the shots
movie.
From Armageddon? All low Dutch angles spinning around the actors?
Yeah, man, that's one of Michael Bay's best films.
See, now Michael Bay.
Yeah, that doesn't say much about Michael Bay.
Michael Bay is to explosions as Quentin Tarantino is to blood.
I agree.
They're like,
I agree.
There's 15 seconds of no explosions. Let's just have that explode.
I'll give Michael Bay my money. I won't give Quentin Tarantino my money.
Oh, what is that?
Oh, man. That's
surprised
rough.
By that. For me, I hate Michael
what
Bay.
What was the name of the book? I'm sorry. What was
Rendezvous
the name of the
book? With Rama.
Rendezvous with Brahma. Okay.
Rama. Yeah, it's the Hindu god of something.
For me, guys, my favorite. Well, I'm not gonna say favorite, but the movies I tolerate, I kind of find good from Michael Bay is Armageddon, The Rock with Sean Connery and Nick Cage, and Pain and Gain.
Pain and Gain.
Bad Boys 2.
Fantastic.
Bad Boys 2.
Oh, God, no, dude.
The only.
I like Bad Boys.
The only Michael
like
Bay
the
movie.
The first one.
Only Michael Bay movie is The Rock that I'll ever admit to being a guilty pleasure.
That's The Rock.
That's barely a Michael Bay movie. That's before
exactly,
Michael Bay.
Exactly. Exactly.
What's the problem?
That's when he was an actual person.
No. See, Michael, the problem with Michael Bay, not to get into this forever, he has one shot technique. He doesn't know why he does it, and he does it every single shot, and it's really, really annoying.
Spin shot's cool.
I just hate him because his movies have no substance. They're just all flash and explosions and loud noises. It's like a Kanye West song. Except visual.
Can we not have Kanye West in this conversation at all?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's strip that from the record.
We don't want to bring the podcast down. Go ahead, Gil.
No, let's not
look at it. And he ruined Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, but you know what?
Coming out with more. And
you know
it's
what?
Good.
He's gonna get my money this year because I want to go see Krang and I want to see Bebop and Rocksteady.
True.
So it hated the first one, but because of what's happening in the second one, I have to go see it.
Nope. Like,
yeah, Paul, I'm with you, dude. Krang, man, and Bebop and Rocksteady, they look mint.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know if they look mint. They looks. I haven't seen Krang yet. I've only seen Bebop and Rock City.
You didn't see the Android suit, dude? They showed
No. But if it's like the cartoons, like, I'm interested. It's worth my $12 to go.
I disagree on every level.
Yeah, I would disagree
they took
I don't care.
See, this is my problem with a lot of like Hollywood movies nowadays are just like the bigger studios. They think that it's okay to do what they're doing, and they're like, oh well, they'll pay for the money because they want to see, you know, this particular IP or this story or whatever. They need to do it right, sink the money into it right, and make it done right. Like, why change, like, even something basic? Why change the way the turtles look? Like, why? Like, what was the benefit?
I agree.
What was the benefit? It's not like it made it better or they changed it just to change it. And like, it's like,
female Ghostbusters. Now they cut you off. And that's not sexist. I'll be called sexist for it, but
the problem with that particularly, like, I'm more okay with the female Ghostbusters than changing the Ninja Turtles look.
I'm not okay with any of that. I mean, no, like, all of it is revolting.
Yeah, that too. I'm just saying, out of those two, at least it's like they're not saying we are. It's not like a reboot. We're the same people, and they're just females, you know, as opposed to the Ninja Turtles, where they're like, hey, we're going to make these guys look like this, these 9 foot tall, ginormous turtles, which I used to be ninja.
Steroided turtles.
All secretive, and giant turtles.
Dude, they butchered Shredder too, man. He looked terrible.
He looked like a fucking terrible Transformer.
For the money they put into that movie, I expected much, much more. Like, it's
Shredder?
That simple. That's all. So, They will get my Redbox money. How's that?
Plus, yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
Plus, out of all of the actresses that you could find in the market right now, why would you pick the dumbest, worst actress that you could possibly find? She's the most awkward.
She's not. She's an ass. She's an ass, maybe a little bit of boob. And you can call me sexist on that one, internet. But that's
I have to use
the same thing as Transformers.
I don't mean to defend Megan Fox. I do not, because she is horrible in that film. But I don't know if you guys watch TV or anything, like TV shows, like New Girl. Have you seen that one? She came on for a season of New Girl. She was actually really funny.
She was on New Girl.
I like that show.
I don't hate that show. It's not. I was thinking of Two Broke Girls. That
she played like a sarcastic, witty, dark, hot chick, but she like did a really good job. So she sucks in all the films that she has. They should just kick her to TV. She actually did a really decent job. Like, she had me laughing at a couple of parts.
Now, in her defense, maybe it's because the script writers are giving her crappy lines.
Yeah.
Because they're like, hey, you're really just here because when you bend over that machine, you look great.
Yeah, so, but no, she was good in the show. Every movie I've seen in her that she's in, she's sucked horrible. Like, she is painful to watch. Painful to watch. But she was actually pretty funny on the show.
Gil, what do you – so where were we? I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I don't even remember.
We left off Don's suggestion.
Yeah, but Armageddon. It got to – yeah, the movie Michael was Bay. Like – sounded like Armageddon.
And then no. It's Michael nothing Bay. Nothing like Armageddon. There's no asteroid. There's no drilling crew. There's a giant cylinder in space. There's some space aliens. We never really get to know who they are. And there's a whole bunch of adventure that goes on as they try to explore that cylinder.
Why cylinder?
There's no self-sacrificing Bruce Willis?
We're not a triumph.
No. The cylinder, all that stuff is never explained, and that's what makes it good. It leaves it to the readers, and I would imagine when it comes into a movie format, the viewer's imagination as to what the ramens would be, you know. And that's, like I said, it's been in the works production for a movie.
So.
I know why it's a cylinder, because the cylinder is the strongest form and the aliens are posturing, creating intimidation and fear before they're attacking. I just make
it up. It's because it's a phallic symbol and the aliens are literally.
You sounded pretty damn smart there, mister.
I got to read a book. Could be.
Awesome. They just looked up thesaurus.com, just got a sentence from it.
Don, you have anything else on that or?
No, I mean, it's just a great adventure, and I think it would be awesome if it was made into a movie. You know, it was it's kind of what we're missing, I think. These adventure sci-fi movies that are actually based with real science around them that are so fun and made for adults, not just made for kids, you know? Like, that's what I'm all about. We need more good science movies.
who would play the lead actor?
Oh, I know Morgan Freeman said he's got dibs on it. So, and seeing that he's Morgan Freeman and basically... You know, the guy who plays God and everything, he'd probably get his way, so.
Take my money.
Yeah, I love Morgan Freeman, too.
Yeah, he's
like,
awesome.
That's the way I want to die. I want him to narrate as I die. Like, you know, like if you're in prison, you get the last meal. I'm like, can I just have Morgan Freeman just explain what's happening as I die? It's like, you're taking the last injection. You're like, thank you. This is awesome.
Thank you, Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, thank you. Goodbye, world.
Who's go? Is it yours, Paul?
Is it my turn?
Could be.
Okay. So I have two choices.
Two.
My first one is my own movie. I want that shit made when I'm done with it. Like, I'm almost done.
Plug it, dude. Plug the premise. Well, actually, don't, because it's my stupid idea.
I haven't. Yeah, it's getting.
I read it. 72 pages. 72 pages. It's good.
Oh, I'm up to 76
right now.
Can you share?
John, you'll get a copy once I get my first draft like completely done, which should be hopefully within the next 2 weeks. I have a deadline. It has to be done by July 1st.
He gave me the what's it called?
Vomit draft.
And that was 56 pages first, right?
Initially it was 50 something pages, and I'm up to 76 right now. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to add more to the story, but you know, I've been adding more and more, and it's a horror movie. I will say this, it's based on the Legend of the Banshee, from Ireland. And, that's pretty much where I'll go with it for right now until it's, till I have it copywritten and I'm finished with the, at least the first draft. But
working on children's poems. Bri, I'll email you the pee-pee poem.
I'm going to need that pretty soon. I'm sick of changing diapers, man.
I never heard that term before, vomit draft.
Yeah, the vomit draft is just you just write. You don't think about what you're writing. You have the premise of your movie, like you have the outline and stuff. My outline was about 15 pages. And then you just work off your outline and you basically write a draft. Generally, your vomit draft should still be the length of a full length movie. However, mine ended up a bit short.
So Paul, yours would be classified as like a horror?
It's horror. Yeah, it's more on the paranormal side too. It's not like a slasher horror.
What kind of budget, dude?
It could be fairly low budget. The hardest part is that it takes place in Ireland. Almost entirely in Ireland. Like 95% of it is in Ireland. And there are certain scenes that are in specific Irish,
settings,
villages, and such, towns, whatever you want to call them. So to set that up with specific landmarks might be a little bit tough for a smaller budget, but it definitely is low budget. It's not big budget at all. It's something you would find in either like a $5 bin at Walmart or, you know, in the horror section on Netflix. That's what I
would
shoot.
Hey, I would feel like I made it. Hey, that's a cool.
I would feel like I made it. Yeah. If I got a movie that I've like filmed and like directed to like Netflix, like, man. Yeah, for $5 movie bin, I'd be.
It's easier to get it on Netflix nowadays than it is.
Yeah.
I would love. Do I watch the horror movies on Netflix all the time? Like the low budget, cheap ones, and I love them. I think they're fantastic.
I picked the 2-star ones. Just to know that I can beat that shit.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I get pissed like Sharknado, and we're not talking about horror, but if Sharknado can get a budget, what am I doing with my life?
Oh my god, that's like word for word what I say all the time. Bright, don't I say that shit all the time? That's
exactly what I think all the time. We watched Sharknado, Kristen and I watched it.
I got a recommendation for you guys though for a low budget. It got good ratings. It's called Hush.
The house is that October built. Fantastic. No. Oh, I thought. Never mind. Sorry.
It's Hush on Netflix. It's kind of making waves. It's fairly low budget and it's like a serial killer trying to kill a chick that's deaf and mute. It's really interesting. It's really interesting. It sounds
he's
crazy.
Trying, what a he's trying to kill her.
Yeah. How bad is he?
No.
He's like the Wile E. Coyote of serial killers.
You know, maybe it's good when you see it, but when you describe it, just does sound.
It sounds odd.
Someone tried to kill Helen Keller.
She's a writer, right? So it's like a mini spoiler. So she's a writer, and her brain. The way her brain operates, like being a writer, the film, when you watch it, it breaks down all these scenarios that she comes up with for survival. And it's like all these different options. And like, because she's a writer, she's very creative and she's hard to kill. It's interesting. Really interesting.
I just want to say this. There's a movie on Netflix. This is somewhat related. It's a horror movie. It unfortunately is found footage, but I think this is one of the better found footage films I've ever seen. And it's called The Houses That October Built.
I think I say Hulk Hogan sex tape.
That's a must watch.
That's a horror movie.
You have to see
footage.
Horror movie.
Oh no, it's leaked. No, you put that up.
Watch The Houses That October Built. It's fantastic. But anyway, that was one of my picks. The other one is actually already being made, so realistically I can't say that this is.
Realistically, I only pick my own film.
To be honest,
I'm a narcissist.
This other movie I really want to see, and I feel like it's taking forever, and it's the Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark film that they're working on. I don't know if Guillermo del Toro is still working on it. I know it's still in development. I believe the writers from the Lego movie are working on it right now. I don't know if he's still if Guillermo's still attached, but either way, that book scared the shit out of me as I was a kid or when I was a kid, and I look forward to it scaring the shit out of me as a movie.
Dude, I remember some of those stories. There was one where like this girl had like a boil and she popped it and spiders came out. I remember that one.
Yeah, dude.
There's the toe.
Don, I was going to say the toe one.
Everybody remembers the toe.
Don, are you familiar with those as a kid? The
Vaguely. I remember a hook in a car door. I think that's what we're talking about, right?
That's one of them. Yeah, it was based on a lot of like urban legends and stuff, and that was one of them. This one, just like this book, and then there was more scary stories to tell in the dark. Just phenomenal.
Gil, did you ever read it?
No.
No.
Oh my god.
You're scared of the scary stories.
John and Gil, you guys
didn't want any nightmares.
The most I heard of anything like that is like, "Are you afraid of the dark?"
Or goosebumps.
Yeah.
I remember goosebumps.
I hate it.
Did anyone see that movie with Jack Black?
No, but it's coming on Netflix already.
Yeah, it didn't do well, but if anyone could do that type of role, it would be Jack Black.
I thought the trailer looked great. I was going to wait for it to come out on DVD, but now it's going to be on Netflix this month, so I'm like, I'll check it out. Like, I don't even have to go to Redbox and rent it.
It's anything
$2 I saved because they upped it. Remember when Redbox was $1?
I do.
I never rented from Redbox.
You remember when torrents were free?
you risked your life every time when you're downloading something on LimeWire.
LimeWire, yes. Oh my
you're
god.
Like, wow. I really want the new Eminem CDs.
Yeah, the new Eminem CDs.
No. This is the worst. Remember this? You download something. Wait a minute, not to say that I did this. I'm just, I've heard you download
a friend
something.
A friend of a friend.
A friend of a friend. Yeah. And then you get the song, and then when you go to play it, it's like, like it's like this gibberish and it's all loud. Bro,
I used to set my Napster to download overnight when I was in high school, and I'd get like 3 songs downloaded overnight. So then I'd like wake up 2 hours
dial
before
up
I had
internet,
to,
right?
I'd wake up like 2 hours before I had to get to the bus, and I'd put a CD in and hope that those 3 songs would burn to the CD before in those 2 hours before I got in the bus. To play my Discman, my portable Discman. Kids, they don't know what they have these days.
No, yeah. they got
you're
it way too easy,
you're
man.
You're walking with your disc player and you bump it too much skips. And it skips. Yeah. Damn it.
Or the cassette player that you couldn't even skip through. You had to fast forward or rewind.
Dude, I had Journey on cassette, man, and I played it so much that the cassette like wore out. It wouldn't play anymore.
Yeah.
My all-rush mixtape.
Good old days.
I was going to say, I didn't even have a computer Napster growing up. I had you hit record and play at the same time.
We had that too.
As soon as you hear the song come on the radio, you hit, oh, quick, shit, it's on! And hit record and play. And then when it's done, you got to turn it off before the announcer gets back on. That was the original mixtape right there.
Yep. Yeah.
You always end up with the radio guy coming back on for like a couple seconds. You always end up.
109, bloop.
Yeah. You didn't have any more blank tapes. You had to tape over that little slot on the cassette so that it would actually still record over it.
Same thing with VHS. Remember?
Yeah.
Record enough TV and there'd be no swears or anything because it's all TV.
I always kept electrical tape around so I could just
cover up ads. That way you never had ads in your recorded thing.
How about this? Yeah. Do you guys remember being so in tune with cassettes that when you go to rewind, you stop at exactly when the song starts? Exactly. Were you guys that good? Because I'd just be like,
no.
Like, it'd be like rewind and it'd go, flip, it'll play perfect. It's like,
remember my iPod? Now.
You have to take a pencil sometime if it came unraveled. You have to wind it back up.
Dude, man. Same thing with VHS tapes.
Yep.
I would get so mad at my tapes.
I just want to make all of you guys aware that we sound old as hell right now.
Yeah. Well, the problem is all the kids nowadays they will never have static in their TV.
No, okay? They won't. Nope.
They don't understand the struggle without internet. Nope. We all grew up without internet.
Scrambled porn. Yeah.
They don't understand.
They don't understand. Say that, but
they don't understand. Like having to actually have to switch around multiple CDs. Yeah. You know, they got like 128 CDs.
Back in my day, I used to have a book filled with CDs so I could have all my music in my car.
Well, they don't know the struggle with the rabbit ears and the aluminum foil and like the click. Yep. I had a clicker TV. My grandmother had one. You just popped.
Had the wood outline with the thing there and it looked like it was fancy.
Yeah, I broke them with a hammer.
Furniture.
But you want to really, real quick before we jump, because I know we're off the rails right now, but a sign of old age. I was out on the patio and I can view out my front yard and over the front road going across, you know, whatever it is. And I saw a family out taking a walk and the youngest one was on a damn hoverboard or whatever the hell they're called going down the street. Like, the kids don't even walk anymore. Their legs are useless.
Listen, has everyone seen
– man, you ever seen Wally?
Yeah, Wally.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
It's coming true. Am I the youngest one in here? I think I'm the youngest one here.
Yes, you are.
Well, I'm 94, so, I mean, I just sound good for my age.
You do sound good for your age, man.
Yes.
It's all the beer.
Yep.
Can I drop my films?
Oh, yeah.
I won't really elaborate on the other two. I'll just really kind of talk about one. So, the two honorable mentions, I'm not even going to get into it. And if you don't know, I was going to say Voltron. Can I see a live action Voltron movie? And if you don't know who Voltron is, just die.
I'm surprised they haven't done that yet.
They can't. The world is not ready for it.
They're not, dude. Defender of the
Universe. It's been 30 years, 35 years.
It's still not long enough. Sure. They need to make sure everyone that knows about it is dead so they can come out with it and everyone be like, this is everything.
Yeah.
Well, Voltron would be awesome. And for the people listening, I mean, God, like, you may be too young to know what Voltron is, but it's the five robotic lions that form the big robot and they fight Robeasts in space.
Transformers.
It's boss.
Yeah. Flash,
Megazords from Power Rangers.
Second honorable mention, and I'm about to just drop the mic after this. Contra, the live action movie starring Tom Hardy and Chris Hemsworth. What you got?
We even have actors pick.
That would be boss. And my actual pick is
Is that only going to be in two dimension though? Like, should we film the whole thing? Just side scrolling two dimension.
Live action, come on. And my actual pick it's a Marvel film and it hasn't been done yet. I've talked about it many times. It's Deathlok. And he's basically this soldier that gets like mortally injured and then, he gets used by this corporation or the military and they put his brain into like this like killing machine. Like he becomes a cyborg and he has, the comics are cool because, he had a computer like in his brain. Like he still had his own consciousness, his thought, and he would like his computer, portion of his brain would like basically analyze enemies and he'll have conversations with the computer. So he'll like fight someone and say, holy shit, this thing is strong. And then tactically the computer would be like, doo, 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 and break down the weaknesses. And it's a really cool.
I can tell you right now that's not going to get made only because we've just recently started watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Deathlok is in there.
No! Did he do him cool?
And he's not. And he's
spoilers. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I gave Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. a shot for like five episodes, and I'm sorry, I love the Marvel movies, but that show is slow.
In the defense of them, it doesn't get good until the end of the first season.
I agree with that.
And then I quickly got bored of it when they started having the Inhuman.
You know what's a good show? The Flash.
Flash Arrow.
Dude, I saw Killer Croc. He looked amazing. Was it Killer Croc? No, King Shark.
King Shark.
I mean, like, Killer Croc. What's the matter? It's Batman. But back to Deathlok, and I'll shut up. That really sucks that they did him, like, on the Shield, and he wasn't done well.
Dude, all he does is hold his arm up and shoot missiles. It's so lame.
That sucks, man, because the comic book is so dark and gritty, and he fights, like, other cybernetic. It's like cybernetic base, so he fights other creations, and it's so badass.
It's like Sherlock Holmes plus the Terminator. Plus Batman's brooding, and that's Deathlok.
Yeah, and
yeah,
RoboCop.
This is the problem, though.
He's like a chocolate.
This is what I was talking. This honestly, you're touching on what I was talking about before. Is they don't make adult movies anymore, really? Not anymore, but pretty much in general.
I beg
to
differ. Go on YouPorn.com.
But there's plenty of adult movies on there.
In defense,
I mean comic book adult movies.
I know what you're
saying. So you know, you're gonna have something like my favorite comic book movie for me is The Watchmen. Why? Because it's gritty. It's actually just like the original, you know? It's there. It's got character development. Death happens.
Dude, that's an awesome movie. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, but for your average viewer, Don, going in to see a superhero movie, because I like Watchmen the second time around when I owned it.
We've talked about it.
It was boring.
Actually, really like
it. Yeah, it was boring to me because I thought it was going to be like a cool superhero flick with a lot of action. And it was like this like deep movie. And then when I rewatched it, thanks to you, Don, because you loaned it to me, I really liked it.
Is that one of the ten movies?
one of my top 10.
Yeah, that would be one of the 10.
One of his 10 movies that he has.
Yeah, that would be, honestly. I love The Watchmen. You know, the twist of what you think's going on, the sexual tension, the guy that, you know, the night owl he can't even get an erection on unless he's in his outfit. You know, there's so many, like, character flaws. It's just
here he goes with the sexual stuff.
Sorry, it's in every movie, man.
Now we know who you cosplay.
Don't be bringing up the alien penis heads, Don. Come on.
Sorry that I have a partner at the Comic-Con, but it's part of the character.
That's the thing, though. To get back to it, though, with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., with the Marvel movies and stuff like that, it's very much, you know, downplayed towards we got to make this PG-13. But that's, you guys were kind of touching on that, and I just wanted to elaborate for a minute.
That's where the, I mean, you can't blame the industry that, and you can't blame the financiers and stuff like that. That's where the money is in PG-13. Well, I mean, there's a big
Deadpool. Look at Deadpool.
Oh, that's what I was just going to say. Deadpool
did make it, but Deadpool,
that you can make a rated R comic book movie and kill it.
That's true, but it's still the Avengers. Avengers also proves that a PG-13 will kill it
higher. Can I just say something about Deadpool?
And merchandising? There's no little kids going out and buying Deadpool dolls and Deadpool costumes.
I disagree with you, sir. I'm sorry.
I would actually disagree with you as well. I think there's lots of kids wearing Deadpool shit.
I'm not taking the stance that rated R is not wrong. I'm just saying, from a producer standpoint, a PG-13 will give you more money all around.
Yeah, I know.
You have a more generalized market. Adults will go to see a PG-13 movie. Kids will see a PG-13. The problem is PG-13 is not PG-13 anymore. It's like a soft core rated R.
Yeah.
Like there's way that the PG-13 movies nowadays are what they originally were supposed to be.
Are you still there, Dave?
Yeah, I'm sure.
All right. Okay. Well, the thing is, I think that going for that soft core R really just kind of cheapens the movie up. They really should just make, honestly, an R-rated movie or however they want to make it, the director's cut, the visceral cut, and then you can make a PG-13 for the kids, put two damn movies in the theater so I can go and see the one I want to go see. You know, at least that's, I mean, I know it sounds a bit harsh, but that's the way I think we,
can I say something?
Everybody goes for PG-13 nowadays.
Can I say something about Deadpool though? And you guys may disagree, and Gil, you could chime in too, because we haven't really let you get a word in for a little bit. But the reason I think, and I'll ask Gil this question, Gil, the reason that I think that Deadpool was so successful was the humor. I think Ryan Reynolds really made the movie, and because they've done like darker stuff, like The Punisher, it wasn't successful like Deadpool. I think what really made Deadpool kick ass was it was rated R. Gritty, but it was like funny. What do you think, Gil?
I think he just had fun with it. He had fun with the role. He wanted to be Deadpool, and he didn't take it too fucking serious, like, you know, every other movie made. So,
I agree. I agree with that. Like the difference between that movie and other movies is that they made the movie that people wanted.
Yep.
Unlike what the industry does, where it's just like, hey, we need to make a standalone Iron Man film. We need to make a standalone Thor. And they give you this generalized crap, which has no plots. No, they're like, fill it with explosions, fill it with action. There's no story development because we need to do this because this is what our, you know, stockbrokers or, you know, our upper ups need.
And
Deadpool
it worked
was
really
exactly
well.
What it was. It's, hey, we have this character. Mm-hmm. This is what he does. Ryan Reynolds rocked it. And that's if more movies were like that, which is why I think, like movies or things on Netflix are going to be in higher demand than normal, like House of Cards.
Great show.
They said, listen, this is what we're doing. This is for the people. This is for, you know, the consumer. And that's why it's such an amazing show. As opposed
Speaking of Netflix shows that did well, Daredevil on Netflix, man. They went and they came in and they said, we're going to do something awesome. And they have, by the way, top-notch cinematography in that first season. I like the second one as well. But man, when they do like a 3-minute Warner hallway fight scene, that wins in my book for a TV show.
It felt like a fight scene and not a choreographed, like there was times where I'm like, I'm pretty sure the stuntman or whoever just got rocked. Like there's no way they were pulling punches there.
How about and his Birdman status where it's like uncut, you're just like one long
staircase
scene and you're just like, this is fantastic.
Oh man.
I love that scene.
I haven't seen season 2 yet either. No spoilers.
Honestly, if you watch season 1, there's a scene where they're in a taxi cab and they have the camera coming through the roof and they rotate the camera 360 degrees through an action, like through the scene as characters are coming out and they're talking and they're going and they're leaving. And if you notice, the camera never cuts. It's not like even like a trick cut like they did in some of the hallway scenes. It's like through the roof of the taxi cab, and they say action, and then they just spin around as the thing goes on, as the whole scene develops.
All right, Bri, you want to drop your movie finally?
Well, I do, yes. You guys left me for the end. I know what you guys were honestly thinking. Let's save the best for last, right?
Clearly.
Yeah.
That's what it was. I have two of them, and I want to bring up one just drastically because I want to throw it out to six people, because Dave was hating on this before. He wasn't feeling it. He says that it should be left alone. I completely disagree. So
if it's a reboot, then yes, it should be left alone.
It's not. It's a prequel. It's a prequel. So the prequel to my thought process is Training Day, Alonzo Harris, younger, how he got to where he was.
No, there's not enough story.
No, I agree with Dave on this one. Sorry, Bri.
Screw you all. Don? Don,
I kind of want to see it.
Yeah, Gil's with me.
Let me ask you this. Who's Alonzo Harris? Who's going to be
there? Please don't say Michael Jordan.
There's no one to play him right now. There's no, like, young.
They'll get Tilda Swanson to play him. They'll just put, like, a.
Who's Will Smith's son?
I actually find her attractive. Brian was making fun of me because I find her attractive.
Tilda Swanson?
Yeah, she was Gabriel in Constantine, and she's.
Do you get the joke though? Because there's a whole Hollywood whitewashing thing behind Tilda taking over the Ancient One because she's white, and the Ancient One is Asian, right? She's definitely not Asian.
Don't even get me started on this PC crap.
But Gil, you with me? With me? You
seen Training Day? I'm 50-50.
You seen Training Day, Don?
Yeah, definitely a great movie. No.
Damn you all.
Here's my problem with it, Brian.
Maybe I'm myopic.
It would be cool, maybe like a short film for a little bit of backstory.
On Drive. You guys would love Drive prequel? Screw you all.
No, I don't know if there's enough to make it a quality film. You know what I mean? Like, there's not... That's tough.
I think talented writers can make a cool film, but my view is, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Tom, but my view is like, it's such a classic and Denzel owned the role so much that I don't want to see anyone as Alonzo has, not even a younger version.
There's also the fact, like, even like the Darth Vader syndrome, if you will. If you explore too much of the backstory, then it loses some of the air of who they are. Like, Vader was this badass guy. In episode 4, he's this badass guy that's choking his own people. Not even the enemy. He's like, hey, you're pissing me off. You're dead. Then it explains in the prequel, it's like, well, he's just this angsty kid that didn't like sand and had sexual tension. And he basically
– was put in the corner for timeout instead of –
yeah, he should have taken a couple pills and he would have been fine. But instead, he just wiped out pretty much everything.
He forgot his Zoloft and his rebreather and became Darth Vader.
Yeah. So it's like that's why you have to be careful with like the stories like that. So I don't know, like it would be cool to see maybe not even like much younger, maybe like 5 years in the future.
His college years.
Yeah. I don't know if it'd be enough, you know?
I just thought of something. It'll probably be like the prequel to Carlito's Way, which freaking
terrible.
They already had it.
It was a bad idea. A bad idea.
Oh, wait, you're saying that it will be similar to. I thought you were saying, oh, it's a sequel to it. And I'm like, but they had that with Benny Blanco from the Bronx.
No, it'll be like, you know, just about the same idea. Like, but it'll be.
Going back to what I said, not to say that my opinion is the end all, but I just, it's like Al Pacino.
Oh, it's not.
Role.
It's not, Dave.
Al Pacino's role in Carlito's Way, he owned it. It was such an awesome portrayal that seeing someone else play Carlito, it was just, it didn't work.
It was like a punch in the balls.
To be more,
you know, movie definition, it's immersion breaking. You see it and you just can't, your brain can't quantify
what's
what
that word mean, Don?
True.
What's
the word? The word means to pick something. The rest I don't understand. But to elaborate on what you're talking about.
Don't do that again. You make me look dumb.
I didn't bring
my dictionary.
About. I'm going to go here deep on you. You can go back to the Charles Dickens day. So the problem that you're talking about, Brian, the problem that you're bringing up is that everything nowadays has a tendency to go towards serialization, meaning no ends are wrapped up. Everything can keep going on in perpetuity. You know, it's just constantly recycled and recycled. Think of soap opera. So back in the day, early English day, I can't remember, but I was just doing some research on this. They used to have stories, beginning, middle, and done. And now, once Charles Dickens came in, I can't even remember because it's something I was watching. They needed a story to keep continuing on to increase paper sales. So he started doing serialized stories and he started elaborating on histories and this, that, and the other thing. And then that spawned a whole, you know, this entire storytelling of prequels, sequels, and nobody's ever dying. And that's why I say we need to limit our serialization of stories.
I semi-agree with that, dude, because aren't movies like longer episodes like TV? Because like if you stop continuing a story, we wouldn't have seasons of anything. But that's in the TV world.
Everything. TV, books, movies now, you name it. Everything's serialized now.
I was just talking actually today at work about that type of like, again, it kind of goes back to the, you know, the big movie, the movie deals or whatever. Like, for example, Captain America, the first standalone, Captain America. that movie should not have been made a movie. It had like nothing. In fact, they had a montage in the movie. Like that's how much of that movie was. It was an
origin story.
Yes,
though.
But the thing is, they could have done it so like the origin story could have been him fighting World War II against Hydra. Mm-hmm. That's the whole first movie.
Fair enough.
Then the second standalone can be now he's frozen, whatever. Like the end of it's frozen. Now he's in the real world.
So second movie was one of the best movies I've ever seen in my life. Though.
That could have been the third.
Winter Soldier
movie.
Was awesome.
The problem is,
I still haven't seen it. So I'm screwed for Civil War.
Dude, you haven't seen Winter Soldier? I know I can't.
I'm screwed because I haven't seen it.
It's one of my 900 movies.
I need to see it.
Dude, Winter Soldier DVD
tomorrow. Meet me at work, and I will give you. I will give you Winter Soldier to watch, but I want it back next week because I fucking love that movie. And then you can go see Civil War.
I need to see it.
I'm going this weekend to see Civil War.
Dude, it's a notch under Dead Friday. It's one of the better Marvel movies. It's really good.
The whole storyline for Captain America is honestly, in my opinion, the best that's going right now in Marvel. It's a continuing storyline. You can look at Iron Man. The first standalone Iron Man was fucking badass, man.
They weren't trying to make sequels. They're like, we found a perfect person to play it. Robert Downey, and we're going to make an awesome movie. And then after that, they're like, look at all the money we can make.
You know what
Let's
the other
assemble
problem
the Avengers and they came up with this.
Oh, they switched from Terrence Howard to freaking, what's his name?
Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle's a great actor, but
he's
destroyed me to see that.
Do you know why, though?
Terrence Howard wanted too much money. They didn't want to pay him, blah, blah, blah. I understand that.
I wish I could rationalize rejecting $10 million for a movie. But sorry, go ahead. I did not mean to interrupt.
They had great chemistry, man. They really messed that up.
They did.
He wanted to do that show Empire instead. So, you know, they were like, I'll take the Empire.
He did that M. Night Shyamalan show, which was actually – Wayward Pines, which was actually really good. But I thought Terrence Howard was great in the first movie. I thought he was perfect for that role. Him and Robert Downey Jr. had like the perfect chemistry.
Superhero Lethal Weapon.
Now for me, I didn't see either Iron Man's until they were on DVD. So I watched them in succession with each other. So I literally went from Terrence Howard to Don Cheadle in 5 minutes. And that.
He lost some weight and a little bit of attitude, but he's still the same.
And got a little darker. Got a little bit darker.
His hairline went back.
So. Yeah, honestly, the only person you can blame for that is Terrence Howard, because I love Terrence Howard as an actor. He always brings that X factor. But, man, if you sit there and say, no, I want $10 million, you can't pay me $1 million for a sequel, in what fucking realm is that logical? Where you turn down a multi-movie contract and millions of dollars because you want more millions of dollars
from not only Marvel but because Disney owns it. Like Don't burn that bridge. Don't burn the Disney bridge.
He lost a lot of respect in my books when he did that, but, you know, not to mention, more power to him.
He would have been in future films. Look, he's, you know, Civil War and War Machine's in it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is he?
But I was going to ask you guys a question. Is it, I mean, am I the only one? Are you guys kind of like tired of origin stories like on film? Like, because every time there's a first,
when the Batman movie came out, dude, I was like, dude, we've seen it a million times.
No, the thing is like they're all so dragged out and boring. You know that you're going to just watch an origin and it's a setup to what the hero's going to be at the end. Right. It's like, I'm so tired of that. Iron Man was good because it was entertaining throughout the whole movie.
And a lot of people didn't know what the story was behind Iron Man.
Yeah, and the point is, the Iron Man movie was a movie. It's got a middle, a beginning, an end, and that was what it was. And then they're like, oh, this actually made money because people want to see this.
And again, the problem, they just need to serialize everything for profit. Same as the old days when they asked Charles Dickens to do that stuff. And that's the problem, man. They want to extend everything out and make too many movies to make more money.
You know what else was a good origin movie? And I think you'll agree with this one, Ant-Man.
Ant-Man was awesome.
Yeah. Fantastic movie.
Yeah, it was fucking awesome.
And that was a sleeper.
So good.
That was a sleeper. Because people were like, well, who's Ant-Man? And
even that didn't really go according to the comic books. But again, it's the same type of thing. They're like, no one really cares about Ant-Man. He's not one of the top, you know, 15, you know, major superheroes. So let's do it right. Let's have a begin, you know. Right. It was a standalone film, you know, so it had humor, it had, you know, it had everything it needed to have for
Guardians of the Galaxy was a good origin too. Origin.
Before we move on to Guardians, can I chime in for one quick second on Ant-Man, if that's cool? Originally, Edgar Wright was tasked to direct it and write it.
He would have been fantastic for it.
All right. Awesome. Amen. Thank you. And you can tell where his influences are when they're telling the stories and the backstories and he's doing this. That is typical Edgar Wright, and I think they really lost a lot of potential by moving him out of the director's seat. And I'm going to add this. I had a thought the other day. If they would have put Edgar Wright into direct Deadpool, it would have been 10 times better. Just putting that out there.
Don, I know a scene, too, is when the Spanish dude was telling the story about the prison.
Yes. Switching back. That's Edgar Wright.
That's Edgar Wright all over it, man. Yes. That's his semen splattered in the money shot.
Do we know why he
Here he goes
got...
again with that sexual stuff. Not that kind of podcast, buddy.
He got canned because of creative differences. It's hard with Marvel because they have their set ways and they're Marvel and they're billionaires and they want to do it. And he's like, I want something totally different and creative differences.
He said he wanted it a certain way and they wanted it their way. So he left. He said, you're not going to let me make the movie that I want to make.
He wanted it more comic book, like the way the comic book went, wasn't it?
I honestly don't remember. From what I understand, he wanted an ant that became like a human type thing. So it was a reverse. Instead of a human that went into an ant's world, it was an ant that got morphed up, something like that. And there was some creative differences, and Marvel being Marvel, were like, nope.
I'm actually okay with that then, if that's what it was. Cause...
Well, that's you're talking off of articles online, so I don't know how much of that is true. Usually with Hollywood, things are
quite
different.
If it's online, dude, it's true.
I'm pretty sure the quote is, I believe by Abraham Lincoln, and he's never tells a lie, that everything on the internet is true, so.
I'm with John 100% on this.
Well, you know, the thing is like, if you're going to look at Edgar Wright, all you have to do is, if you say, I question him for Ant-Man, look at his body of work and then realize he's only done awesome things. And I would trust him again, especially with something like an Ant-Man.
I don't know. I'm good with, you know, Shaun of the Dead. I'm good with Hot Fuzz. But what's the last one with the
The World's End?
Yeah, that was like okay. That was.
Have you ever seen Scott Pilgrim versus the World?
Yes, that's
that
good.
Movie was badass. That was Edgar Wright all over it, from beginning to end. The pacing was so tight and intense.
That's the only movie I like Edgar Wright. That's the only like the World's End one with the bar and like their faces like melt or whatever. That was like. The only non-good Edgar Wright film I've seen.
Can I bring something up, like, off topic? Gian, were you going to say something?
I was just going to say that I felt like the At World's End thing was more like he just wanted closure because they were all technically part of the same universe.
Yeah.
So he was like,
what's
you know.
What's it called? The ice cream? What was it called?
The Coronado Trilogy.
Yeah. So I think that, like, I out of all of them, like you're saying, like, that was not up to the same standard. But I think it's because it was like, you know, I'm just trying to kind of round it out and call it a day type of thing.
Yeah, but you know, if somebody else had made The World's End, that would have been, if a new director had made that, they would have been like, wow, how groundbreaking. But when you have somebody coming from Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz.
Yeah.
Which are two really well conceptualized films.
Right.
And you're like, oh, it's good.
I was going to bring something up. This is completely off topic.
You mean more off topic than a prequel to Training Day? Even Damn, more dude, off topic than that?
Oh, like off topic, like talking about Beyonce's CD off topic?
Oh, jeez.
No. Because
that's the only thing that could be more off topic than where we're at right now.
Well, I was going to bring up, Gil, I know you saw this because you had, I think, commented on it, but dude, the original design of Apocalypse that they scrapped. Are you freaking kidding me?
Better.
Are you freaking kidding me? What do you got to say about that, Gil?
They freaking kidding me. They dropped the ball on that one, like hardcore.
It looked amazing. It looked like a live version of the cartoon Apocalypse. Like, it was amazing. And who's the idiot who said no to that? And freaking, we got Ivan Ooze from Power Rangers.
Was it Bryan Singer? Is he doing the next?
The rumor I heard is that it had to do with merchandising. The character that they had was not.
They still
able
had
to
cast from Ivan Ooze.
They weren't able to port it over for like action figures and stuff as well. So they
what?
That's again the internet. Abe Lincoln.
But you know what? That actually makes sense.
That's how the marketing. Sometimes the marketing company is the one that pushes everything.
He looked amazing.
We'll take it from a guy who's got a degree in marketing.
Yeah,
yes, I do.
For you guys,
I have a associate's in marketing.
Oh, you did get your associate's in that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, congratulations, buddy.
He's well-learned. That's what I heard.
For you listeners, Google, concept art for Apocalypse for, what is it, X-Men Apocalypse?
You post on Facebook, right?
Yeah, X-Men Apocalypse. It's on a Facebook page. Newbie from.
I'm sure it's probably the first thing you pull up will be the original costume.
Yeah, but the thing with concept art, though, that's always kind of like the Ralph McQuarrie, like original Star Wars concept art. Very, like, there's a lot of stuff that was not put into the original budget.
The same goes for Cars, too. Like,
yeah,
the concept art is very different from the actual product generally.
Yeah.
However, they strayed really far from this for this movie.
Yeah, they dropped the ball, man. It looks terrible. Like, Oscar Isaac looks. He looks dumb. Go ahead, Gil. What are you going to say?
He's one of my favorite actors. Newbies, but yeah, he's
Wordian.
He's bad. Oh yeah,
Oscar Isaac in there. Playing Apocalypse.
Oscar Isaac, yeah. And mind you, he was one of the best characters in the new Star Wars movie. Poe. He was awesome.
He was fantastic.
Yeah, him in Ex Machina.
He was good in that.
Basically, he's the new Han Solo.
You see that Asian sex bot dancing?
Yeah, exactly.
This shit was hot.
Hey, really? And you bring it back into the sex.
Oh, that was my fault.
Well, that's where it goes, man.
I started him up. I started him up again.
Sexual tension.
How about that one that like freaked out so much that she like ripped her own arms off? She like punched her own arms off.
She was still hot though.
I haven't seen it.
Sorry, Gil. Bro. Hey, there's an Asian spoilers. Sex bot. That's a must.
Watch it, man.
It's not even futuristic. It's just that's China right now. It's all it is.
Oh yeah, it's what's crazy about that film, and like not to give you any spoilers, Gil, because you got to check it out. Is it's so possible, like so possible.
Okay,
to an extent.
It's basically like modern Google, I think. Honestly, it's supposed to be. That's what it looks reminds me of.
It's interpretation of that, for sure. I thought it was great. I watched it a couple months ago, and I thought I even read the script while I was at work during my lunch break. I just went through and read the script afterwards, and it was such a good script.
Is it on Netflix?
No, it was on Amazon Prime is where I watched it.
On Amazon Prime.
Yeah, it's definitely worth a watch. Gil, you got to check it out, man. It's pretty good.
There's a lot of Stanley Kubrick homages to a lot of the lighting and shots.
I could definitely see that.
Is there a Wilhelm scream? There's gotta be a Wilhelm scream.
Probably. I mean, every movie has a Wilhelm scream.
The hell's a Wilhelm scream?
Oh, man. That's it. Give up your film card, man. You're out of here. If you don't know what a Wilhelm scream is.
Even the Star Wars universe has a Wilhelm
scream. I know vision.
Everybody does.
Pretty sure every Disney movie that has ever existed has it.
A lot of movies have. Right now I'm going to YouTube and I'm gonna play a Wilhelm scream.
Please do
it's
that.
It's just a typical scream when somebody falls off a building.
Oh, scream. Yes. I thought you guys said screen. I'm like, what the freak is a scream? I know the
scream. Ready, here it comes. Like, here it comes. Did you hear it? Here.
No.
I can't hear, dude. Yeah.
That's it.
Star Wars.
Is that from like the 50s or something like that?
Yeah, it was from a movie, right? Wilhelm, and it was just constantly used.
Yeah,
with the Foley thing, and the original, basically the one of the biggest Foley people there, he was the one that instituted, and from then it was like an honor to always have it in the movies because, you know, back then Foley was, you know, that was hard.
Being a little kid hearing that, be like, man, I've heard that scream a lot. Yeah. Is that the same person?
It's like SpongeBob, my leg. If anyone, you guys are probably all old, so you don't really know SpongeBob, bunch of geezers.
Listen, dude, my goddaughter is turning 10 years old this year. She was a prime candidate for SpongeBob when she was a little kid. She used to wake me up when she was like 3 years old, come watch cartoons with her.
SpongeBob. Dude, we have to watch. Remember she'd watch SpongeBob with us and we'd watch Dora the Explorer. Remember we'd put her to bed and we'd still watch Dora the Explorer after she went to bed?
Yeah. She'd go to bed and we'd still be sitting there on the couch.
I need to see if they find the map. Okay.
Yeah, we gotta find the map.
No swiping.
Maybe this is what's wrong with me. I watched Ren and Stimpy growing up.
Me too, dude.
Me too.
Powder Toast Man! And he used to like shoot the croutons out his armpits.
You know what my favorite thing about Ren and Stimpy was though? Stimpy had the booger collection underneath the table, but they rarely showed that. But on the episodes they did, for some reason, man, that always got me. I was so into it.
You guys remember this?
I might have had that myself.
We need burgers. There's so much fun to eat. If you look real hard, you may even find a meat. Remember that? Ren Stimpy? Okay.
But I can tell you I can sing the log song.
I just remember Happy, Happy, Joy, Joy.
Yeah, I remember that song.
Everybody remembers that. The Happy Joyce.
Dude,
that's Doug.
Pinky and the Brain was kind of a ripoff off of Ren and Stimpy in a way.
When nowhere near the artistic value, I will say.
Oh man, Pinky and Brain was awesome.
But you know what's brilliant is what's his name? Tom Kenny, I think his name is. The guy who does the voice of SpongeBob is also the voice of Ren and Stimpy and Doug and all of them.
If you like look at his resume, he's done pretty much anything animated in the last 20 years. He's had a voice. So
isn't the person who does Bart Simpson's voice a transsexual? Like,
no,
I think it was a guy.
It's just a woman.
Oh.
Or it was a girl. That's what it was.
Yeah, it's a woman.
Who knows? Nowadays, who knows who identifies as who? I identify as an elephant. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, that's fascinating.
let's drop that.
That's gonna start getting too political for our podcast.
No, you want to get political? We can start talking about the Hollywood whitewashing thing they got going on. But I read a lot of that on the internet, man.
I actually listened to a podcast today where they talked all about that.
All right, back to my original idea. I just want to comment on it one last time. Screw all of you. All right.
He's mad because we spent like a whole 10 seconds on his prequel.
We were talking about the Training Day prequel.
All right, that wasn't even. All right, that's my side one. This one you guys aren't going to know.
Okay.
So I'll go into it because it's just like a newer audiobook. Anybody that listens to us has been listening to for a while. I listen to like a lot of audiobooks. This this guy that I've been listening to, his name's Peter Kleins. He writes like sci-fi, kind of like mystery books. And this book that he has out that I would be like awesome film. It's called 14 and it's about this guy named like Nate and he moves, he like hates his job, wants to quit his job. He has no money, no girlfriend, no plans, no future. And he ends up finding out he finds this really cheap apartment in Los Angeles, like $400 rent. And he's wondering like, this is like an awesome, awesome apartment. It's in like this big time, like old school 100-year-old building. And he goes in and he starts noticing kind of like weird things, like weird padlocked doors, strange light fixtures, mutant cockroaches. And what he starts finding out is with all the people that were there.
Pass over mutant cockroaches real quick. Like, oh yeah, it's just one of those weird things he starts to notice.
What's cool too in Peter Kleins, mutant cockroaches. Peter Kleins actually, he puts like green cockroaches in all his books. Or at least I've read one other book and he incorporates green cockroaches into the whole weird sci-fi thing. It's like his like little, you know,
like,
whatever.
Like rad roaches from Fallout?
Kinda. So he starts uncovering and meeting the people that are within the building. And like this, like the synopsis of it is it's kind of the mystery in a style like Lost. You would probably like it, Don, because I know you're a big Lost fan. But he meets all the different people in the building and he starts peeling back like all these different things inside the different apartment buildings. And he starts realizing that each apartment building plays almost like a part in the building. And you start piecing together and putting together that each apartment build or each apartment is a part of like a machine or part of like a bigger working manner. And it's actually, you find out that they start to uncover that the machine is holding reality together and the house is the actual machine. And when they start messing around with it, they start realizing that the reality like splits and they open up another reality. And then like the other reality has like these like crazy, alien creatures and like this big flying dragon thing that like comes after them and stuff like that. But it's really cool for like the first like, half of the book or more than half of the book, they start peeling back and you start like, oh, the person that used to live in that apartment used to commit suicide. Three people that have lived in that apartment have committed suicide. You find out later that that apartment is next to like a wormhole in space. So like that wormhole in space was causing those people like to commit suicide. And then one building, they like peel the paint off the walls and there's equations all over the walls and they try to figure out what the equations mean. So it's like just a cool book, I think, and it would be an awesome film.
I don't think it should be made.
Yeah, my question is, would that be able to be like portrayed well enough? It seems like it's a book that you need to be more inside the head of the person. So I don't know if that would be able to convey enough unless there's like some
– No, there's it's like very visual. It's very visual. Like all the clues that he finds or within the building is very visual, like different things that unlock certain things and different things that lead up to certain things.
Excuse you.
Paul's raising his hand right now, so I'm going to call on Paul.
Yeah, I'm waiting my turn. I just was thinking about another book that got turned into like a movie/miniseries recently, and it was it 11/21/63?
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Late on that one, Paul.
Oh, no.
Go ahead. We covered it, dude.
It's – oh, did you? Yeah, I've been out for a little while.
He wanted to talk about how much it sucks. So, yeah, you missed that sucking episode compared to the book. I told you to read the book, right? And it's not anything like the damn book. I know.
Nope.
Nothing like the damn book.
I haven't even watched the last two episodes because the first was three or four episodes. I was like, yeah, this is stupid.
It sucks?
Yeah, they went so far away from – not so far away from the book, but they just changed some of the most important aspects. When you read the book and you go into the movie, they skip like 2 or 3 years. That's a pretty good section of it. Like, it's a very establishing section of that book that kind of like gets him warmed up to what's going on in the world that you're in. And they just jump over that and first they go episodes. Right into it.
A lot of movies do that, though. Like, I Am Legend.
I know.
That had nothing to do with.
I Am Legend was awful. That was a terrible
zombies.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like a zombie thing, and they're like, "Yeah, let's make them like vampires, and they're kind of afraid of the light."
super fast.
This is a Stephen King book, dude. And then I know a lot of the miniseries they do
are different. This is like it's a pretty good like mystery book, and I think it would make a great film.
Brian, I'll throw my weight behind it. That sounded good, by the way. I like the description. So nobody can see me raise my hands, but I was waiting for you to actually finish the story. So to me, it sounds compelling enough. You can make it into a movie.
I don't know if it would convey well enough. That's all. I think it would lose a lot of, the psyche of the character, kind of figuring out what the heck's going on. Like it'd be visual to see, but I don't know. It sounds like it's a book that it's like you're in the guy's head and the appeal of the book is you're like learning at the same pace he is. So like you're thinking, oh, maybe it's this or maybe it's that. And I don't know if that would – like you'd have to get a phenomenal actor to be able to.
Well, no. The thing is he meets all the people in the apartment building. So everybody that lives in the apartment is starting to figure out what's in their apartment. So you play off – however many people, eight people living in the eight different apartments in the building. So you have the actors playing off each other, trying to point and say, oh, I have this in my room or my apartment has like this set up why is it set up like this? Why is it weird like that? And it's why is your set up like this? And yeah, green roaches.
Green space roaches. It's genius.
So that's mine. You guys hated the Training Day one, but screw
this,
you all.
This one is definitely,
I'm with you.
This one's definitely yourself. Much.
I'm with you on the space quantum apartment building. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, you redeem yourself. But I don't know, guys. You guys got anything else? Any more flicks or anything you want to discuss?
I want to throw out one more. I didn't know we could have multiple ones, and I figured you guys just assumed I had Star Wars ones. What about this? Ready?
Go for it, John.
Star Fox, the movie.
Dude.
Oh, man.
Dude.
That would be cool.
What
that
would think?
Be
cool.
Didn't they just come out with an amazing Clank movie and it failed?
Like the Pixar, polygon Pixar face style, right? Pixar style or DreamWorks.
Well, I don't know about
not
Pixar
like,
style.
Hold on, let me imitate.
Not like real though, right?
No, I don't think live action would work well, but I think if animation, I think it would be like even like a mocap type of thing.
Dude, but we got Rocket Raccoon though. He looked pretty good.
You know
yeah,
what?
So like, go ahead.
I would say if I can throw in here, and I'm going to do it on the British accent because I'm getting kind of.
I was
late
like,
tonight.
Wait a minute, we have a Brit in here. What the
wait,
hell?
So I was just going to say, if you do Star Fox, which sounds great, I say do it Howard the Duck style, totally in real life.
I disagree 100%. Howard the Duck.
Midget, you get a little midget in a fox suit, and you
the
shoot him through space.
The only good thing about
Howard
the Duck is that it ends because it should
have
never
blown
been
off. Cocks in the air. That's a great idea.
I think
no, it's and the human female is like, oh, I think I'm going to do stuff with a duck. What? Who in their right mind signed off for that?
Dude, I like the enemy in Howard the Duck, though. The main bad guy that got, like, possessed by the alien creature, whatever. He's like, ugh. His eyes are, like, fact, all red and glowing.
And the fact that they had Howard the Duck after the Guardians of the Galaxy should have been stricken from the record because that was garbage.
Dude, he looks sickly. He looked all scraggly looking.
Well, he's been corrected.
He had bird flu. Yeah. And that happened.
He's patient zero of bird flu.
Patient zero. That's right. He's looking too many porno mags.
Zika virus? What is that?
It's another scare tactic.
No, have you seen the pictures? Have you seen the pictures of the babies?
I've seen the microcephaly that supposedly that they haven't been able to prove is actually a problem from the Zika virus. Yeah, I've seen it all, Brian. I read the news every day. They still have, I even go on the World Health Organization and the CDC's websites. Dude, they can't fucking, they have no proof that the Zika virus is even causes microcephaly. So
yeah,
fuck them. It's another scare
it's
tactic.
The flavor of the month. First it was H1N1.
It's another Ebola.
And then it was Ebola. And then it was Zika. Mm-hmm.
Welcome to New Breed Conspiracy Podcast.
You know what doesn't get diseases?
Bubonic was kind of a dangerous thing.
Guns. Guns don't get diseases. Stick with guns.
I have one more.
Thank you.
All right, Gil. You go ahead. Let's bring it back to movies. Let's get it off of Zika virus.
Yeah, this is going to sound kind of corny, but I would like to see a new age The Godfather. Like the family continued to this age.
No, dude. I got to disagree, dude. Respectfully, good.
That's like Scarface, man. Scarface, you got to leave it alone.
Dude,
they're rebooting
that's
Scarface.
Brother.
Like, that's, yeah.
Pacino's still in it. It's just like it's his grandchildren.
It would Pacino's be a very
dead,
fine
man.
Line.
Dying, bro.
I think huh? If they could do something kind of like how Star Wars, the new Star Wars, it would be like a handoff to like a newer jet, but it would be walking a very, very fine line. Because you have
man,
so,
we,
it's so sacred.
You could make not to interrupt, but you could make a whole show about reboots you shouldn't make. I'm just gonna say that, like Blade Runner, fucking stop. They need to go into that production area with a fucking machete and murder everybody because they
I
don't need
see,
to be making that. I'm just letting you know.
Wait, time out. Why a machete? That's so personal. Why can't you just like?
Yeah, well, because my anger is just overflowing into the computer like, screen. It's been like 16 beers now,
well,
man.
Well,
I'm ready to
like,
roll.
The thing
the machete,
with Blade Runner,
you're looking into their eyes as they look, yeah. And they're like, "It's not my fault. I'm just the best boy."
The
it's
thing with Blade Runner,
exactly.
The thing with Blade Runner that I'm cool with is, it's really Scott again. And look what happened with George Miller and Mad Max Fury Road. Mega
hold on,
hit.
I don't,
hold, on, just, hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on.
Brian, know how you
Blade
Brian.
Runner.
Yeah,
now you know how I feel, man. Personal attack. You know what? Next time they bring up movies,
so many, I feel this small now.
Yes.
Why are they doing so many Harrison Ford remakes? I don't get it.
Well, it's a sequel. There's not a reboot.
They need to not make it.
It's what I would call Star Wars: The Force Awakens. It's a soft reboot. They're still in the same world. It's still got the same characters, but they're revitalizing the franchise.
Ryan Gosling's in it, so I'm down. So it's and sequel. It's Ridley Scott.
Blade Runner. So
Blade Runner's love child. That's what.
Wait
it
a minute.
Is.
You said Ryan Gosling's in it.
Ryan Gosling's in it. Yeah.
Oh, I'm down.
Roy Batty.
Yeah, Gil's down. This is Drive 2.0. He's down.
Drivers. Drivers automated.
It's called Blade Drivers.
Blade Drivers.
Drive Runner. So yeah, Gil. No.
It would have to be done very delicately.
That's why I said, you know, in my mind, I'm making it, so it's okay.
The real problem with it is that it's anything that's like multi-generational, you're going to have, there's going to be someone upset about it one way or another.
If you have, go ahead, Jim, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, that's why, even the new Star Wars that came out, it was kind of like a reboot of episode 4, but it was enough to make the people that are the original trilogy fans happy, and it also was fresh enough to make the newer, you know, it'd be cool. I'd like to hear the Godfather, you know, soundtrack again, but
I just think that
I was gonna say something.
It's a big risk because, you know, we have Fear the Walking Dead, and if they have Pacino in it, you know, people are tired of the zombie theme. I love Al Pacino.
Al Pacino.
Dude, he's undead at this point. Him and Keith Richards are unnatural. Something is going on.
He's just the walking soul at this point.
He is, man.
You ever notice that Al Pacino had a massive voice change in his acting between his 30s and his 40s, and it stayed the same? Because when he was younger, he was pipsqueaky and kind of the Al Pacino way. And then later on, he's like, "I'm Al Pacino." Yeah. And
I'm pretty sure he, with all his money, he replaced his lungs with a 9-year-old smoker's lungs. Yeah. He's like, "No one's taking me seriously. I'm Al Pacino."
He goes, his hair plugs. He's like Daniel Day-Lewis. Who? I'm getting artificial lungs put in or whatever.
His hair plugs are serious, dude. He looks like a 6-year-old girl's doll. Like when they put the hair out, there's the little holes and.
I need to start doing some hair plugs soon, man.
I was gonna say that.
Oh, you're good, dude. You buzz it down. You're not living in denial. Or
buzz it, look at this. Bro.
It's coming back, man.
I have some hair. But
I still got that Eddie Munster widow's peak. I'm good. Look at that.
You do. That's awesome.
You still got you're 4 years behind, 5 years behind us.
That's true.
Almost.
I probably have more gray hair than anyone else, though.
30 a month, and I have no.
I will be forever pink with no face.
I love how we're not talking about movies anymore.
Yeah.
It's a special 100 episode. This whole thing is just a giant.
He's not even recording now. He stopped recording a half hour ago.
I kind of want to redeem myself.
All right.
Okay, here we go.
I won G.I. Joe, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and what else? Oh, those rebooted. Just like the way the cartoon was.
Wait. There hasn't been a G.I. Joe movie, has there? Oh, yeah, there has.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah.
See, you forgot. It was barely a G.I. Joe movie. That's why.
Right. It was The Return of Cobra, whatever the fuck it was.
And Yeah, but that's ass. That's all ass. I'm sorry, with The Rock, it was ass.
They went with the escalation of the movie industry. They're like, we need everything exploding. We need everything action, and you're like, there's no story. So people are watching.
I forgot they existed.
Yeah, it's like watching fireworks. They're cool, but in reality, you forget about them 5 minutes after they're done.
Yeah, true story. I forgot all about them. I'm like, oh, why haven't they made a G.I. Joe movie? Oh, right, they did. They made two of them.
That's how bad the movies were.
Fucking 10 years ago. Oh, awful.
Preaching to the choir, man. Preaching to the choir.
All right. So what do you guys think? You think we covered enough this episode?
I think that's it. I think that's our 100th episode, man.
Moving on to Egyptian philosophy and the ramifications.
All right, guys. So thanks for listening. Brian, you want to take us out?
Yeah. This was a fun episode. I think this is probably, let's say, the most amount of people that we've had on the podcast, and also the longest podcast. We're almost at probably like almost 2 hours, I think. Yeah.
Poor Dave has a lot of editing to do tonight.
So
I'm glad I came back tonight.
True story.
Yeah, I'm glad all you guys could come on, and it's kind of cool to have everybody within 100 episodes that has been on, and you guys are all here with us. And any guys that have listened to us, if you haven't been listening to us since the very first episode, we actually did we only chose to do 12 episodes, I think, on YouTube, recorded and uploaded, and then we're just like, screw it, like we did the 12 episodes, so let's keep going. And
can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
If you've been listening to my mojo, and you know who I am, then you probably hate me because A, I hate everything that Brian and I haven't seen nearly as many movies as they have. I'm always like, you know what? I haven't seen that one. But I have been on since episode one. I have missed about half of the episodes at this point.
I've only been invited to two, and it's Star Wars based. So that shows where my wants are there.
But I just want to say, seriously, thank you for listening. It's been a pleasure, and I look forward to many more episodes.
Since we're all getting emotional right now.
We are getting emotional,
bitch. Who's emotional? I just said thank you.
I just want to say also, like, for the audience and listeners, thanks for listening. I want to say thanks to John. John, got it this time.
Hey, wait, me? Now, I'm curious when you say that.
Thanks for John for getting on and contributing, and Gil and Don, and it was a lot of fun. So I'm about to cry. So.
No problem.
Group hug.
That's a wrap for episode 100.
Yo, so keep an eye out for my movie,
John. How many movies you got now? Because I'm probably not gonna go to sleep now.
I can go and count. I'll take a picture and I'll send it to David.
He needs to take a picture. Okay. Take a picture and post it to that public message thing that we got.
Oh, you know what I mean? Yeah, I could do that.
It's huge. No, Gil, he does have a huge wall of movies. Okay.
And that's only the ones that go up there. Like, I have a ton of digital copies.
The one's good enough to make it to the shrine.
Yeah. Like, the one in my living room that's within 5 feet from my Blu-ray player, you know?
Okay.
So.
All right. So, we're on Facebook, New Breed Film Reviews. You can check us out on there. We post, daily. Or any like news articles or anything like that. Dave also kind of like writes reviews if he hasn't actually got on to do a solo review on film.
You mean I shit on things?
Yes, he does.
Like people and movies. Yeah.
Yes. So he likes to share his opinion on there. I'm not that great of a writer. I like to post pictures. So I'll post pictures to there. And, we also, you guys can hit us up on our Gmail. It's newbreedfilmreviews2014@gmail.com. Look at that, 2016 now, 100 episode, 2014 Gmail. You guys got that? Did you figure that out? We are on iTunes. We need you guys to go on, any listeners to go on and rate us on iTunes. It helps us out. It brings us up the chart. Some of you guys have actually gone on there. I think we have like a couple reviews on there. I think we have a 5-star rating right now, which is good. And I appreciate any of you guys that have gone on there and rated us. And
you guys need me to make more accounts and rate? Or?
Yeah.
Just hire a bot.
A whole bunch of bots, yeah.
Yeah.
These guys are great.
Yeah. All in broken English.
I really podcast hate that Don guy.
America.
Yeah, his British accent sucks.
But the couple of you guys that have actually taken the time to do that, we appreciate it because it puts us up there. It moves us up the ranks. We fluctuate up and down the ranks on Podomatic as our main hosting site, and we appreciate you guys on there that give us the views and the downloads to bring us up the list. So, anybody else got anything else to say before we head out?
Congratulations, guys.
Thank you.
So I will be back.
All right, guys.
Thanks for having me, by the way. I can't believe anybody would actually ask me to talk and listen to my drivel, so thanks.
It was a pleasure, Don. Great, Don.
Don's cool cat.
No more sexual stuff. Well, you're not allowed.
Always going to be sexual.
You need to work some stuff out personally, Don. Yeah.
look, if you want to, like, right, I'll just add this in, right, real quick at the end. one of the first movies that Stanley Kubrick ever made was like a horse racing film. Some professor from a college, and I'm trying to make this short, wrote him a letter back in the day and said, you know, when I watched this movie, all it reminded me of was the sexual experience. Stanley Kubrick met up with that guy and had coffee to discuss with him, wrote him a letter back, said, congratulations, you're the only person that picked up on that. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm done. Thanks for having me. Almost all movies are sexually related.
I don't know if that's good enough to leave on, Don.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm Puerto Rican, so I can say this. We just did a Puerto Rican goodbye where you say bye and it's just say, I don't know if it's like that with Italian people.
I second that.
I was just about to say that. It's got nothing to do with Puerto Rican. Okay. Italian, it's like, it's goodbye, and then it's that's 20 a segue
more.
Into a new statement. Okay. It's not even like an afterthought.
It just never ends.
That's because I'm mentally unstable.
It's a pause.
Okay, so that wraps up 100.
Yes.
100. Catch you guys with 101.
So glad to have us all.
Later.
Later. Later.